Welcome to the Decide Your Legacy podcast, helping individuals and businesses unleash their potential. Join us every episode as host Adam Gregg discusses what is holding us back and how to find hope for moving forward. Along the way, we discuss developing healthy relationships and navigating life transitions while overcoming fear, stress, and anxiety. Live the life you want, the legacy you decide.
So one of the first things I like to do with clients and with legacy groups, and even the legacy journal that I'm producing, is to help people understand life balance. Life balance gets a bad rap. Some people think it's not possible. I disagree. I think it's the way we actually define life balance. I don't define it as something perfectionistically. We're not looking for such a high level in our lives, in every different area of our life, that we are finding this miraculous level of peace in our life. You know, like we've somehow reached this place where everything's perfect. No, it's being able to accept that it's good enough and then accept where it's something you're investing too much energy in or too little energy in. And so as I look at my life and as I talk to clients and as I work with legacy groups and as I coach people, I like for them to start recognizing and understanding how they can make shifts in parts of their lives. And that's what we're going to do, is talk to you today about making a life balance assessment and starting to make some shifts. And then next week, we're going to talk about some tactics where you can actually apply specific things to your life that will help you to make the shifts, from either investing too much in a part of your life or too little in a part of your life. So this is episode number 112 of the Decide Your Legacy podcast. And you know, today's episode, we're talking all about life balance. I love this topic. You know, I'm pretty stressed out today personally about a lot of different things. I have so many things going on in my life, and so I'm having trouble getting my bearings straight. So what I do when I know I'm struggling with anxiety is I can step back and recognize it. And then I can start to look at my life and say, how am I misallocating the most valuable resource in my life, which is my time and my energy and my focus? And if I step back from it, I realize it's anxiety driving me, it's fear. I don't have to get consumed by it. I can make some intentional, willful adjustments in my life, which I'm doing, and that's great. And so I want you to have the same tools for your life when you get overwhelmed. So I'm your host, Adam Gregg, and I've been a coach, a content creator, a speaker, and a mental health professional for 25 years. My passion is to help people develop the self-confidence and clarity to face their biggest fears so they can live their legacy. I talk about stuff I struggle with myself. I mean, I'm struggling right now as I do this podcast. I didn't want to do this. I'm trying to run away from it, but I am doing it. So I don't have it all figured out. I'm a fellow traveler, and I'm here to help you today. So something that I've done recently that's uncomfortable, and I share this because nothing is more important than you facing your fears, doing things that are uncomfortable, not playing it safe. And I'll tell you, if you want to change your life, you have to find the areas in your life where you are playing it safe and do something to face that area differently, to talk to those people, to make the call, to do the awkward thing, to not avoid, to do something that you know is uncomfortable on a consistent basis, and you'll have to grow. You will grow through doing that. I think it's one of the biggest myths that the mental health industry conveys. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but that there's not any willful change necessary towards things that are truthful and healthy, that if that's not necessary for mental health improvement. I mean, it's absolutely essential to take action to improve your mental health. Have to do it. If you don't, you will not grow. You will not overcome those things holding you back. You have to take action. So the uncomfortable thing that I did is I decided to let a bunch of other buddies that own businesses critique me on parts of my business that I'm not running very well. And one of them is a sales process. And so I got a bunch of feedback on really how I'm dropping the ball and how I'm not getting the message out, how I'm not consistent. And so it was really challenging to me, and I made some adjustments, and it ended up actually being very positive. And so I'm trying to keep that at the forefront. I mean, that's the focus right now for Decide Your Legacy, is how do we reach more people to help more people to get the message out consistently. And that's the challenge that I'm putting on myself, and it's a challenge I'm putting on my team. How do we do that? Because we have to touch people's lives to get the message out there. You know, one way that we touch people's lives is we practice what we preach. I've realized that over time is I have to be somebody who is practicing the stuff that I'm conveying in a message to other people. And this balanced life is the message I want to convey. So let's go ahead and talk about the different life areas that are essential to invest in. And as I do that, I want to share a story with you about Philippe Petit, who actually walked between the Twin Towers in 1974, on August 7th, 1974, you know, carrying a 55-pound balancing pole. And he did it at age 24. That's 1,362 feet above the ground. He was arrested, but the charges were dropped. It took 45 minutes. And he did 8 passes between the Twin Towers. Pretty amazing feat. It took incredible balance and it took incredible focus. And the consequences of not being balanced are great. You know, the costs can be to your health, can be to your relationships, it can be to your career. If you get consumed by any part of your life, it can be damaging. And, you know, in this case, he didn't fall off the Twin Towers, but I mean, those would have been, he would have died, of course, if he did. So if you don't recognize how you're off balance, you're not going to make corrections. And what I find in a lot of people's lives is they have areas that other people around them, they know that it's not a balanced part of their life, but they don't make the adjustments. Other people around them are telling them and are giving them hints and are giving them clues, but they're not actually making the adjustments that they actually need. Happiness is not a matter of intensity, but a balance, order, and rhythm. And harmony. That's Thomas Merton. And I love how it's put by Zig Ziglar. A balanced life is the key to true success and happiness. I do believe that because when I figure out that I'm off in some area and so then I make adjustments, it makes a big difference. I'm going to give you tools to start assessing your life and figuring it out and then making adjustments. So tool number one is to understand the different life areas and to just get a grasp of what they actually look like. And so there's 7 different life areas that I want you to focus on. The first one is spiritual. And if you look at the Decide Your Legacy tree, these go along with the 7 different life areas. So the first one is the leaf that points up and it's the spiritual part of your life. And by spiritual, what I want you to think about here is a faith community, spiritual disciplines, having a prayer life, consistently investing in activities where you're growing spiritually. You're around people that are challenging you. You're interacting with scripture consistently. And questions to ask yourself are, how am I engaging my faith? How am I investing in my faith? And what am I doing to grow intentionally spiritually? So that's one part of your life. And the next one is as you follow along with the Decide Your Legacy tree, and I'm going to go ahead and link in the show notes to an image of the tree that my office manager created, a PDF, and also the actual image of the life wheel that's on one specific PDF that shows you what it looks like to assess your life, all right? And so this is a cool thing that you can download and check out. So it's going to have the Decide Your Legacy logo and then the corresponding area. So the next one's family. And by family, I mean your marriage, parenting, your extended family, your siblings, your grown parents, your close friends. And questions to ask yourself in this area are, you know, what am I doing to invest in my marriage? What am I doing to invest in my children intentionally? How am I engaging with my siblings, my grown siblings? How am I engaging with my closest friends? I've had people tell me they haven't talked to their closest friends in over a year. And I look at them and I say, well, that's not really a close friend. If you haven't talked to a close friend in within the last year, then I'm not saying they're not a really close friend, but I'm saying that relationship needs a little more attention. So I challenge you to put more attention into it. So what am I doing to be vulnerable with other people in my life? That's the family area. And then going around on with those leaves on the tree, on the Decide Your Legacy tree, the health and self-care area. So what to think about in that area is, what am I doing to invest in exercise and diet and get enough water and getting enough sleep and rest and dealing with stress? And questions to ask yourself to assess this area are, what am I doing for exercise and for sleep? How is my diet and water intake? Am I getting the medical care that I need? There are other questions you could ask yourself as well, but what am I doing to manage my stress? So the next area, the fourth area, is intellectual. You can't neglect any of these areas, and I'm going to tell you and talk to you about why. So some things to think about are reading and learning, stimulating conversations with people, studying consistently, even hobbies can be intellectually stimulating. So questions to ask yourself in this intellectual area to do an assessment. What am I doing to grow intellectually? Am I reading? Am I watching how-to videos? Am I learning new skills? Am I applying those skills? How am I engaging in my career intellectually? And this is for you to realize that if you see your career as something that you enjoy and want to grow in, then you want to find time to get better in it, even if you've done it for 30, 40 years, to find time to learn the new trends, new skills, to do research, to look at the data. So another question is what am I doing to spend time with people who help me to grow intellectually? And how am I doing that intentionally? The next area is the fifth area, and that's social and fun. What I want you to think about there are friends and hobbies, extended family, neighbors, fun, laughing, comedy. You know, some questions to ask yourself is, how am I planning fun into my life? And what am I doing to engage my hobbies consistently? And what am I doing to engage in my friends and neighbors and community consistently? The sixth area is career and business. How am I using my talents and developing my technical skills? How am I developing my relational soft skills in my career and professionally? How am I moving towards my goals? Some questions to ask yourself in this area is, you know, what am I doing to grow in my career? What am I doing to develop my technical skills? The same questions to ask yourself. What am I doing to develop my relational skills? How am I moving towards my career goals? What are my career goals? What are they? Have I written them down? What's my vision for my career? What is my life purpose, and how can I move towards it? In the last area, last but not least, these are all significant, all important areas, is financial. So what I want you to think about there is stewardship and planning for your future and staying out of debt and communicating with your spouse and having an estate plan if you're at the end of life, or a will, and budgeting. And some questions to ask yourself to do a self-assessment are, how am I living within my financial means or not? Am I saying no to myself? What are my wants and what are my needs? And how am I confusing those things? Can I not wait to the end of the month until the next actual budget to spend money on something? Or do I not have that kind of self-control in my life? So what financial decisions am I avoiding making or talking about? How am I planning and preparing for my financial future? So some points to make as you do an assessment in these areas. So actually the first step, the first tool, the first key is you do a self-assessment. You understand to doing a self-assessment is understanding what the different life areas mean and look like. And so a few points on these areas are that all the areas are complementary. And so what I mean by that is, if you improve in one area, it's potentially going to improve in another area. So if your health improves, so can your financial condition. If you get more sleep, so your marriage can improve as well, because you have more time around your spouse, potentially not being grouchy when maybe you're grouchy in the past. If you have a healthier social life, then your career might improve too, because maybe you make connections professionally. If you cut back in an area, it may help another area as well. So if you cut back on work, it may help your marriage, for example. Or if you cut back on spending so much time in the social area, maybe it allows you to have more time to invest in your career, and that may be a shift you want to make. So you know the shifts, like with that balancing pole, walking between the Twin Towers, you're making shifts. So point number two, are all areas are important, but not are all equal. And so I'd like to list them in the order of importance. So spiritual, family, health and self-care, intellectual, social and fun, career and business, and financial. You know, if you drop the ball, if you mess up in one area, like let's say you blow things up financially, you make some really bad decisions. Well, if you're 35 years old, you got a lot of time to make things up, you know. But if you neglect your family and your kids and your marriage when you're 35 years old, it could end up having lifelong consequences. So it's a good way of thinking about it. Now, financially, if you commit fraud and you go to prison for 10 years, well, that's, of course, a different story there. I mean, there's consequences to making bad decisions. You can't lie and steal, but you have to look at these in an areas where they're not all equal, but they're all significant. They're all very important. I like this quote by Gary Keller. If you drop one of these areas, it will be irrevocably scuffed, nicked, perhaps even shattered. It depends on the area. I mean, potentially you can bounce back in some ways, but you can't in others. So number three is, perfection is not the goal. And you know that I collect 7-Up bottles. On a scale 1 to 10, you're looking for a 7. Perfection is not the goal. So I want you guys to strive for a 7 as you do an assessment. So if you look at your life and you assess it on a scale 1 to 10, a 7 is good enough. So you may give it a 10, but it's an area where you want to cut back. You may give it a 4, and it's an area that you could actually improve. So in point number four is, growth occurs through tension. When you do things that are hard in life and you face scary things in your life, that's the tension I'm talking about, where you actually grow. So if you're doing something that is challenging physically, like you're trying to lift weights frequently, it's going to be challenging. It's because your muscles aren't used to this, and you're getting a spot and you're learning to see that you can actually get stronger over time because you're creating tension. You're creating problems for yourself intentionally, willfully, and that's why you're actually going to grow. So you're going to assess your life. And so how are you going to do that? So the second step is, once you've actually started to understand each of these seven life areas, the number two is you're going to start assessing, giving yourself a score in each of these life areas. So that's the second step here to assessing, to creating a life assessment. So you're going to look and say, what on a scale 1 to 10 is the score that I'm going to give in that area? And a great way to know and to assess that area is, what is it going to look like if it's not going well? So if you know that your health is not going well, what are some signs that you're going to see that are indications, they're advanced markers to tell you that I am neglecting this area of my life? And so it could be, if you're a parent, that your kids, when you come home, they start to be a little more distant from you. And that's a sign that you should be investing, that you would want to invest more time in your family. Or it's possible that you recognize that there's tension around money with your spouse, and it really wasn't there a month ago. And it's a sign, it could be a sign of a number of things, that maybe there's this lack of investment in your marriage, or maybe there is this sense that you are not investing enough in communicating about money. And so there's this tension in this area. But that's what you want to face and head into, not neglect. But it's a way of recognizing in an area there's a problem. Or if it's the spiritual part, well, what are you going to start seeing? It could be that you start recognizing that there's more temptation to have fear in your life because you're not connected spiritually. And so you're getting more anxious. And you're realizing that when you start distancing from other people and not talking about your problems, that's a sign that you're not engaging spiritually. Or when you're making excuses to not go to church, or excuses to not engage in a devotional time, that's a sign that, or to not volunteer with your time and to give back at whatever place that you generally give back through mentoring or a soup kitchen or whatever it is, that's a sign that you're not connecting spiritually and want to put more energy into that area. So that's the second step, assess. And the third, we're not going to go into a whole lot right now, but we're going to go into it next week, is I want you to figure out how you can, in each area, make some corrections. And so we're going to look at tactics to make corrections in each area. But before I do that, I want you to go ahead and I want to talk to you about, well, I got one more point I want to make. And so it's a way to actually step back from your life and make some assessment, an accurate assessment of where you're at currently. You know, but before I do that, I want to talk to you about my new course, Shatterproof Yourself Lite, that you want to get access to check out. So this is a 20-minute video and worksheet, and it's on 7 small steps to a giant leap in your mental health. You're not going to want to miss this. It's 7 things, as I've worked with clients over the last 25 years. If you invest in these areas and you make shifts in these specific 7 specific areas, then it's going to have a big impact on your life. And that's what you're going to want to do, is go through that video and fill out the worksheet briefly. And you're going to only get it through this link in the podcast today. You can share that with your friends. Check it out. You're gonna find it very helpful, and it's gonna actually give you some insight into the new course that I'm developing called Shatterproof Yourself, the full version, which is worksheets and examples and videos and stuff that you're not gonna want to miss if you find this helpful. So if you find this kind of content very helpful, you're gonna want to check out Shatterproof Yourself, the full version as well. So the third step to doing a good self-assessment is to keep 3 things in mind. So one is, what is the legacy that you want to leave? And that can help you to know how to assess your life now. So one of the first activities that I ever have any client go through is understanding the life wheel. One of the second activities that I have any client go through is, how do they decide their legacy? And how do they step back and decide that, like, 10 years from after they have passed away, how do they want people to actually remember them, and to keep that in mind? And that's going to be able to give you the ability to say, is the trajectory of my life in these 7 areas, is it good enough to help me to leave that kind of a legacy? So for me, I want people to see me and part of my legacy to be somebody that faced his fears and did the uncomfortable things in life. Those are my core values. I mean, that I lived my core values. And, you know, another core value is relationships and connecting with people. And so that if I'm living accurately in the family area, I'm calling people, I'm having conversations with people, I'm putting an effort into connecting with people consistently. And that helps me to assess my life. Because that's one of the challenges people have is, well, how do I do this assessment? What do I measure it against? But you measure it against your legacy. And that's going to require consistent evaluation. So that's the second thing here on this third step to evaluating your legacy. No, it's not something you do just once a year. It's something you do consistently. I would suggest that you do a self-assessment on a weekly basis, at a minimum on a weekly basis, and if you can, on a daily basis. So this one planner that I like to use, it's a performance planner, and it has a way to assess your life. It has a reminder in it, and I want to create my own planner that I sell. That's one of the goals that I have as well, is to create my legacy journal and our legacy planner, but it's a daily assessment. And that's what I challenge clients to do, is a daily assessment of their lives. And I want you to think about it as a daily assessment in these seven different areas. Again, to review them, you got your spiritual, your family, your health and self-care, your intellectual, your social and fun, your career and business, and then your financial. And then what you're going to do is you're going to try and get your low areas closer to a seven and your high areas closer to a seven. We're going to talk more about that when we do the self-assessment. So studies reveal that 95% of everything we think, feel, and achieve is the result of a learned habit. And so we're going to want to start setting goals that start creating habits in each of these areas as well. That's a part of your assessment. So it's kind of hard to do the assessment without thinking, well, how do I set goals in this area? What are my goals in this area? What is my legacy? How do I want it to be lived in this area? And how do I adjust it to closer than a seven? What is wrong? How do I indications that it's not going very well in an area? And that makes a big difference. So setting goals, stop setting goals. I love this quote from Stephen Covey. Stop setting goals. Goals are pure fantasy unless you have a specific plan to achieve them. Start creating habits in your life. So if you want to live with life balance, let's start with creating a good assessment. First thing you do is understand what each of the seven areas looks like. Second thing is you want to define what is your score in that area. And the third thing is to have a healthy mentality about each of the life areas. And there's four things that are enemies to actually doing a successful life assessment. So enemy number one is perfectionism. And I've already tried to address that with you, but that's your enemy. I mean, it's gonna derail you. Are you being perfectionistic? I know for me that when I start to be perfectionistic, that's an indication that anxiety is starting to well up in my life. It's not a good sign. The second enemy of living and doing a good, healthy assessment of your life is going to be unbalanced people, because you're not going to have a realistic ability to assess your own life if you're around a bunch of unbalanced people who are workaholics or addicts, or who neglect their families or don't do anything for fun or don't put much energy into self-care. Those are not going to be the best people to be around if you want to do a healthy self-assessment. The third enemy is going to be a lack of focus, so distractions. Things that keep pulling you away from being focused on the different parts of your life. And, you know, if you have the excuse like, I can't do a self-assessment on a regular, consistent basis, well, that's just exactly what I said it was. It's an excuse, because it will take you 2 or 3 minutes to do that. And I know when I think about my life at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day, and I say, well, how am I doing in each of these seven life areas financially? And can I check that box? Like, I put some time into my budget. I put some time into looking at and thinking about where I'm at for the month at this point of the month. If it's the end of the month, I'm putting some energy into planning the next month and that budget, or I'm communicating with the important people in my life about money who need to know. And am I doing that? Am I checking off that box? Can I check off the spiritual box? Can I check off the health and self-care box? Have I done something to invest in my health and self-care? And, you know, right now I haven't checked that box off in a couple days because I didn't run yesterday. So I'm going to run after this podcast, actually. Enjoy the sunshine. I think there's a little bit of that out there. So, and then the fourth enemy is limiting mindsets. And that can be, I'm not good enough. I'll never be balanced. I am unworthy. It's not going to ever change for me. Why try? That's going to be an enemy of you having life balance as well. So, final quote here is, you can't truly be considered successful in your business life if your home life is in shambles. That's Zig Ziglar. So let's strive to assess our life. And I want you to do that, to print off the worksheet, to download it in the link again, to check out that link, and also check out a link to some life balance tips, a couple blog posts that I wrote
with some life balance this tips that we're going to link to in the ICT show notes as well. So I want you to check that out, download it, and share this podcast with some friends. So if you found this podcast helpful, again, share it with people, give it a rating and review on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast content. This is a way to assess your life towards more life balance. So I'm going to go ahead and close the way that I always do. Make it your mission to live the life now that you want to be remembered for 10 years after you're gone. You decide your legacy, no one else. I appreciate you greatly, and I will talk to you next time.